Yo, 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 Thought Warriors. What is up? Higher Learning is on. It is Ivan Lathan Jr.
And it's me, Rachel Lynn Lindsay.
I just brushed my teeth in front of you.
Tell them what else you did, because I would love to get a poll out on who else does this.
So, I ate a taco, and the taco made my mouth feel nasty. To the point where the big man felt like he was going to upchuck Woolery. Okay?
Oh, it was
wasn't
like
a
that?
Great taco.
Oh.
So, it made me feel weird.
Okay.
So, I was like, I got to stop and brush my teeth. You know, so I stopped on the way up here and I brushed my teeth. I brushed them and I rinsed my mouth out, but then there was nothing to spit, so I swallowed it.
Like you, like the bathroom is maybe 50 feet away.
But I was talking to Pretty Hair and I didn't want to leave her presence. Rachel surprised me.
I did.
With my stepmom. I don't know why. It's a stepmom, adopted mom or whatever. My second mom. I love you, mother. My mom is going to listen to this and be like, talk about somebody, your mom. I love you, Crystal Lathan. But your mom is here. She's in town.
She's in town. She's here.
Hey, look, she's in here right now. Hey!
They can't see you. They can't see you. Don't worry. She tiptoed it. She made it very clear she does not want to be on the podcast.
So what did you guys do? We were talking about. Let me tell you what Rachel did. Rachel took her mom to Watts. Of all the places to go.
That is where my mother wanted to go. Mm-hmm. And so I aim to please.
Right.
My mom, it's the first time that she's been out to LA to visit me. Yeah. So she's seeing our house for the first time, the way we live. And I feel like she wanted a lay of the land. She wanted to see. She's been to LA before, but not like this.
Right. What'd she think of your home?
So I took her everywhere.
What'd she think of your home?
She loves it.
Was it, did you clean up before she came?
Cleaned it up.
Isn't that something?
But you know what? This is what my mom did.
Isn't that something? Before our mothers come to our homes, I'm in there like Mr. Clean.
Absolutely.
I'm doing the baseboards.
You already know.
I'm like, because your mom has a way of just being like, sometimes my mother will come and she'll go,
Okay, she doesn't do that. At least she doesn't do it in my face.
Right, she'll be like, And I'll be like, what? She'll be nothing. You know, if you take a little, just take a little, like a little dollop of dishwashing liquid, and then you put, I don't know if you got like a, you can just get in the corners right there, because I wouldn't want your home to keep a nasty house. I don't want you to keep a nasty house. And I'd be like, all right, cool.
You know what she did do?
What?
We rolled up, weren't there more than 10 seconds, pull up in the driveway, and she just starts looking around. And she's like, is this the way that you walk through the house? And I was like, every day. And she's like, you know, they say it's a security issue when the bushes are up this high. My mom watches a lot of ID.
ID Discovery.
She watches a lot of Oxygen.
Yeah.
All those shows. So constantly on her mind are like evil neighbors and, you know, people who stalk. And So now I'm nervous about things I've never been nervous about before. We got Copper. Mm-hmm. You know, he's ferocious.
Copper does his thing.
We've got cameras. Mm-hmm. We've got a ring. But now I'm feeling like it's not enough.
Your house is very accessible.
I would like to move on to the next subject.
I was just thinking about I would expect her to be tucked off a little bit more. You know, like tucked back.
Well, I don't know what kind of money you think we have.
Tucked back a little bit. Nah, but look, I think it's hidden. It is hidden. It is
by
hidden.
Very nice home.
So you guys went to Watts. We didn't get the Watts story. Tell us what happened in Watts.
What do you mean tucked off a bit? Back of it, like, how far back do we need to be? Why are we? What do you mean we're really accessible? I mean, don't give away. You know, people can find me. But now I'm concerned.
It's fine, Rachel.
We live under a street light.
Uh-huh.
That makes me feel better.
What is that? Why?
Well, because the neighborhood, the other street that intersects with it, it's dark. I would never live on that street. You can't see anything. We live right under a street.
But I think dark is better.
But see, I feel like people would be more like, oh, I don't want to go there because you can see everything. It's bright at night.
Yeah, but also they can see where to find you. So it's like you're under the lights. It's like, there's a house right there. Shadoodoon Target.
Like next week our house is going to be up for sale.
No. It's fine. It's a great neighborhood. And, you know, it's whatever. So you're avoiding telling the story of how you
there's not much to say
showed
about,
up in Watts.
There's not much
tell
to
people,
say.
Tell
there's,
people.
Listen, there's not much to say. I asked my mother. So I took her to Saturday. We went to the Getty. Sunday, we went to the Getty. The weather's been kind of this weekend in LA. Not typical LA.
Not great. Today's beautiful.
It was a little rainy, cloudy, but it opened up for us. It was really nice. We had a great brunch. And so then I had purchased tickets to the Academy Museum. They have an exhibit there that I thought would be great. My mom loves classic old movies. I thought this would be really nice to see. Everybody keeps talking about it. And then I could tell she was like, nah. I'm like, do you want to go to the Academy? You know, it's okay. I'm whatever. I could tell she doesn't. And I said, well, do you want to go? She mentioned some places that she wanted to go. And so I said, do you want to go to Watts? She goes, yes. And I said, okay, well, that's the excitement that I was looking for. Let's go to Watts. Uh-huh. So we drove. Don't really know where to go. Mm-hmm. Couldn't call you because I wanted to surprise you today.
Right.
So I knew there were the Watts Towers. And that was like a whole thing. You know, you could pay to go. So I just put that in the GPS and we head there. Mm-hmm. It was closed.
Right.
And actually, the road was closed to even get to it. So now we're just driving around.
Right.
Then I notice people are looking at us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't want to generalize or anything. Let's just sit in the story there.
Right.
Let's just end the story
Rachel was out there looking like fresh bread. Rachel was, first of all, see, this is why, see, look, let me tell you something. People, they say stuff to me, they're like, Glasses Malone was on this podcast. And they say, hey, Van, Glasses is not quite politically correct or anything like that. But you know what? Glasses, 7th Street, Watts. Glasses,
so
great,
I could have hit up
great.
Glasses.
You could have hit up Glasses. He would have loved that.
I know he would.
Like, you could have hit up Glasses. Glasses, we in Watts. Would have, he'd have given you a three, or my man
and
Top.
And nobody would have messed with us.
But nobody messed with you anyway because it's a great community of people. But you whipping around there and
but we look green.
Yeah, yeah. You looked green because you were in a green Porsche.
But we looked out of, and that's what I hate. All of a sudden, I was kind of like, people are looking at us. We were in a very loud car.
Yeah.
And I said, we should probably leave. Because you know what I was thinking? I feel like we talked about this on the podcast.
You didn't have to leave, but you maybe felt like you
were just in a place we didn't know. Right. We weren't familiar with.
You don't want to flaunt. You know what I mean?
Yeah. If I had been in a different vehicle, if they just, but also we didn't know where we were going. And I just didn't like that. I like to always know where I am.
Right.
So, you know.
You felt.
No,
you felt.
Don't do that to me. But I did feel like, you know what? I don't know where I am.
Right. You don't know where you are. You were at the 1923 premiere earlier, you told me, or before.
I did. Now, what are you going to ask me?
I'm not going to ask you anything about that because, you know, certain stuff we talk about, that's off the record.
That's off the record. We know.
But have you watched 1923?
I have. I've seen majority of the first episode.
What did you think?
It's good. Did you see 1883?
Yes.
Okay, so the narrator is the same. Because I was like, that voice sounds very familiar. Mm-hmm. But you don't see her, at least up until where I got in the episode. It starts out, I'm telling you, Helen Mirren is bad.
Yeah.
She is bad. But it's also establishing where we are. Because I'm like, okay, who's that kid? How does Harrison Ford work in here? So you're getting the family tree dynamic. You might need to even take out like a pen and write it down. Okay, this person came
here. He's John Dutton's grandfather in this show.
No, he's not.
He's not John Dutton's grandfather.
Unless I'm getting the family tree wrong. He is the brother of Tim McGraw.
Interesting.
So he's the uncle of John Dutton's father.
The uncle of John Dutton's father. Here's the thing. I'm very excited about 1883. Yellowstone as a show has become unwatchable.
Okay. You know, I'm only on season 4.
Like,
do not tell me about season 5.
So here's the thing. Yellowstone as a show has become the most interesting television experience. It's, how can I explain this? Do you remember True Blood?
Didn't watch it.
You've never watched True Blood?
Never. Okay. Never seen it.
So I'm not going to be able to articulate what I mean.
I don't even know who's in it.
You have got to watch True Blood. True Blood is the worst, best television show that's ever been made.
Well, that's not selling it.
That's the best way to sell it. True Blood is so stupid.
Vampires?
Werewolves. Dudes that turn into dogs. Fairies. Like all different, all in one Louisiana town.
Oh, Louisiana. Bonton. Is this what Herschel Walker was talking about?
No, Herschel Walker was talking about Fright Night. Herschel Walker was talking about, and by the way, there are no werewolves in Fright Night. Herschel Walker was talking about Fright Night. I'm going to be real. I'm hoping that the people in Georgia, but when this comes out, it'll be Tuesday. It'll be voting day in Georgia.
Yes.
Georgians, please, please don't put this crazy ass nigga in the Senate. And it was like, I feel so guilty. Pretty hair sitting right over there. I'm cursing and saying it.
She's okay. She's okay.
But no, like, seriously, Herschel Walker is sublimely unwell.
Yeah.
I've been watching more and more Herschel Walker stuff.
Don't do that.
It's just, he is incredibly incompetent. Just, I'm talking about monumentally dense.
I just feel like he's not going to win.
Right.
He technically, Warnock barely won, but I feel like in a race where it's just the two of them, Warnock will be fine. But I could be, you know, being a little naive.
So I was in Atlanta this weekend.
Ooh, should we want to talk about it?
Yeah.
Wait, can you finish your thought about Yellowstone?
What?
You were comparing Yellowstone to True Blood, and you were saying Yellowstone is not watchable anymore. And as a person who's about to start season 5, mm-hmm. I need to understand what that means.
What I mean is that the show is bad now, but it's bad in a way that is still unbelievably entertaining.
Well, she watches. Mm-hmm. My mom watches, and she's saying it is.
Yeah, she's right. She says I'm right. Yellowstone is bad. It's bad TV, but it's still so much fun to watch. Something happened on this last episode. It was so stupid. It's so dumb. It makes no sense that it would happen, but this is Yellowstone now. This is where we are. 1883 and 1923, these are shows that still take themselves seriously. Yellowstone understands now that it's jumped the shark. It's over. There's nothing. You know what I mean? And I like it. I like when shows just get to the fuck it stage. Like we don't care. And that happened to True Blood early on. True Blood is a good show, though.
How many seasons?
5?
Okay, maybe Brian and I will start. We're always looking for a new show.
What does Brian watch? Like old Gillette commercials?
He's watching Boardwalk Empire right now.
That's a very Brian show.
I can't get into it.
Yeah.
I mean, we're 3 episodes in. That's a good show. Just leave me. I'm not into it yet.
The first season of Boardwalk Empire is fantastic.
Okay, well, not for me.
You don't like
it. I'm 3 episodes in, and I'm like, who is he, and what city is he attached to? And I just don't.
It's not as great as, say, The Real Housewives.
I'm telling you.
You really feel like you... So, I have a question. I'm not trying to diss The Real Housewives, because, I fuck with them. They're
I got Kalika on it.
What do you like about The Real Housewives?
I can't explain it. And I've been watching it for years. I find the women fascinating. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking more of the OGs. Now people come on, they know like the recipe of the show and they're trying to be something that they're not. But the original women, it's like they take themselves so seriously, but they're all, I don't know if I should say it like this. I was going to say deranged. They're just all quirky and I don't know. They want to be famous, but they don't want to be famous. But these are their real lives and they're just changing all the time. And I just find the dynamic of housewives so interesting.
So I've decided something. I've decided to renew my subscription to the Zeus Network.
How did we get here?
Because
you're not going to compare Zeus to Housewives.
Why?
Not the same.
Hold on. What?
Zeus is more dramatic, outrageous, and more staged. And more Zeus is very staged.
I find it so hilarious that we're drawing lines in the sand between what happens on The Housewives and what goes on Zeus.
And I'm going to be honest.
Zeus is...
Most of what I'm watching on The Housewives are white people. They're drama.
So
Zeus, that's not Zeus. This
is what we're going to do. We're going to democratize the reality conversation. And I need you to start watching Baddies West.
No, I'm not watching that. I see the billboards.
You have
I
to
see
watch
it.
Baddies West.
I see it.
You have to watch the Chrisan Rock and Blueface show.
That's on Zeus?
This is all stuff coming out on Zeus.
I thought it was just social media that they were doing.
No, this is Zeus. Zeus is popping.
No.
Jocelyn's Cabaret.
I can't believe you watch all these. Don't ever talk about Housewives with me.
Hold on. I don't really watch them.
Yeah, it's barely.
But if I'm going to watch something, I'm going to watch Zeus.
I don't want to see us. I like to watch them.
What are you talking about? Bravo was made off the back of black women. No?
Wait, keep going. What backs of black women was Bravo made off of?
The Real Housewives of Atlanta.
That came first. There was OC. That's what kicked it off.
Right.
And you had that a couple of seasons. And I want to say,
I feel like Atlanta's the biggest Real Housewives. And I might need Chelsea's help on this.
The black seasons are the best. Potomac, Atlanta.
Yeah.
Atlanta's kind of fallen off a bit. But Potomac, outstanding. But I think before you even got to Atlanta, I think Jersey was there, or New York. One of them was there before. So it wasn't built on the backs, but we're obviously more entertaining. It was the second one? Dang it.
What?
Atlanta was the second season.
See?
Chelsea just came in. But it started with OC. And there might have been two or three seasons before.
So you feel like you're too good for Zeus?
No. I'm saying this is the green portion. I don't want to see us act that way. I'd rather watch them act that way.
This is the whole thing. Chelsea, do you watch Zeus?
I had to Google what Zeus was.
Chelsea said she had to Google what Zeus was. Y'all, this is not right.
I know what Zeus is.
At least when we act up on Zeus, I feel like it's a nigga that's, his name is Zeus, that owns the Zeus Network.
No, you know who one of the guys is behind it?
Who? Big
he's
Zeus.
A big social media guy.
Big Zeus?
Oh, gosh. He was big on Vine.
What's his name? Who runs Zeus? I need to know this guy. I want to talk to him.
I'm going to tell you. When you see him, he was on Wildin' Out.
Who runs Zeus?
King Batch.
King Batch. Thank you, Donnie.
King Batch runs Zeus?
He's one of the guys. There's like three people.
I don't
people.
Think King Batch runs Zeus.
100%.
Zeus Network by King Batch. I like King Batch. I think he's very talented.
He is.
Zeus Network. I'm going to look it up, Zeus Network, right now.
I just also feel like it's like black people exploiting black people.
The Zeus Network is run by Lemuel Plummer. And
it was founded by social media personalities DeStorm Power, Amanda Cerny, King Batch, and Lemuel.
Yeah, okay. So I'm watching this. I guess because I see it right now. I guess my thing is, if we gonna act out and get rich off of it, why not support the black people that do it? Like I'm against this notion that we should be embarrassed by how people carry on.
Did that word ever come out of my mouth? I said they're exploiting them.
Who's being
they're
exploited?
Black people, like these shows that on, it's like they're taking. So
wait, so but
what was
Andy,
one? Of, what was
wait,
one of the shows? It was Andy, like the girls from Love and Hip Hop, and they would sit. I remember this. They would sit them in a room like this,
right?
And they were like, "No producers, nobody's gonna stop you. You can just go."
So, but
and I remember I was having
but
a
Andy
conversation.
Cohen isn't exploiting them.
He is, but it's mostly not us.
Chelsea, wild. Chelsea, come here. Chelsea, is this mic on? Like Chelsea, come here
but
and let's
Chelsea,
have this Zeus conversation.
I feel like we've had we do need to a Bravo podcast. Zeus. Everybody should listen to Morally Corrupt on Ringer
Zeus
Reality
Network.
TV.
I want to be a part of Zeus. I can't believe I don't know Lemuel Pop Plummer, the black man behind Zeus.
I could only speak for my housewife knowledge and respect for them because again, I had to Google Zeus. I just found out what it was.
You didn't even know what the Zeus Network was.
No.
Shout out to Zeus. Shout out to Jocelyn. Shout out to Natalie Nunn. Uh-huh. We're going to have Natalie on the podcast.
Okay.
I need Natalie Nunn on Higher Learning.
You know who
Learning.
Natalie Nunn is.
Nat.
From Bad Girls Club.
Natalie Nunn, who's made a whole career.
Out of this.
Who's a boss, a lady boss. Shout out to Natalie Nunn. Have been running LA for a long time. I need her on the podcast. Talk about Zeus.
Okay, we'll get on that.
Okay.
I will say, I feel like with the Black Housewife franchises, we've had our own indiscretions within each other. Atlanta had the fight with Portia and Kenya.
Indiscretions.
We had like fights.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
And then we just had a drink toss a couple nights ago in Potomac. But what I respect about these franchises is that they like to have conversations about holding black women to a higher standard and how we are viewed in the society and how we Yeah.
Y'all full of shit.
Zeus exploits every black stereotype there is. And they're making money off of it. And
Zeus
has those discussions. I'm not aware.
They don't.
Potomac and Atlanta, we have conversations about black women.
That's not what y'all watching these shows for. Y'all watching these shows for beef between black ladies. Zeus is doing it in a more aggressive...
No, actually not.
I watched these shows.
What are we doing?
For the absurdity, for the one-liners, for the comedy, for the friendship.
For the comedy and the one-liners of people going at each other.
If you actually watched it, it's not what you think it is. I'm not even saying that. Like, she talked about the drink toss. It took 8 episodes to get to a drink toss. That's not majority of what the show is.
Let me tell you something. Tell you what Zeus is. Zeus is... It cuts through all of the respectability stuff, and I haven't really even watched it, but I'm telling you what I get of Zeus.
How?
It's cutting through all the respectability stuff and getting right to it. And by the way, this is an outsider's view. When I see housewife stuff, when I see the stuff, shout out to Mona. I love you, Mona. I love everyone. But I see the housewife stuff, when I see the Love and Hip Hop stuff, I see a lot of people talk about, and I don't have any problem with any of this. I think it's all entertainment. But I hear about the beefs and the people who don't like this. And Portia said this about this person. And I look at the reunion and didn't your husband, wasn't he with the pastor of the church and wasn't he doing this? And
Pastor Holy Whore.
Right. Pastor Holy Whore. These are the things that I hear about people giving out each other's phone numbers. Like all kinds of stuff like that happening, right?
At a reunion, yeah.
At a reunion, on show, whatever. I saw one clip where the lady went to a plot of land where the other lady was about to have her house. You see this?
That was Atlanta.
She went to a plot of land and there was a look, and she was clearly shading this woman. I'm sitting here laughing my face off because I know her. It's shady.
But how hard is it to create a network where we're exploiting every single stereotype? It is. One of their first shows, I said, was putting them in a room saying there'd be no producers, nobody will hold you back, so these girls could just fight each other. They took beef from Love and Hip Hop, others, Bad Girls Club, and they just let them fight each other.
So these are the shows that are on Zeus.
Go ahead. We should have somebody from Zeus on.
I definitely want to have this conversation because I think there's a little bit of respectability bullshit that's going on.
I will have the same energy.
I'm
going
to exit, but again, Morley Craft every Friday.
Get out of here. Look at you. Look, so these are the shows.
Thank you, Chelsea.
These are the shows that are on Zeus. B. Simone's You're My Boyfriend, Jocelyn's Cabaret, Life with Lil Tay, Pretty Girls Lit, The Real Black China, The Real Dumbass World, Sexy and Social ATL, Shirtless Chefing with Don Benjamin. Shout out to the homie Don Benjamin who's chefing without his shirt on. You know what I mean? Getting chest hair all in your mac and cheese. A Taste of Dance with Amanda Cerny. Tokyo Tony's Finding Love ASAP. Ultimate Fitness Challenge with Candace and Omar. The Conversation Baddies. The whole Baddies. Baddies ATL, Baddies South, Baddies West. Created by Natalie Nunn. If we gonna act crazy, at least we should be able to be empowered by it. You got the, you're drinking the Andy Cohen juice over there.
Oh, no, I'm not. You are.
Well, Ronaldinho has a show on Zeus.
We're going to have somebody to come on and talk about it. I guess I was on reality TV.
You were
not. And I've talked about this before, that a lot of people who don't look like us base their perception of how we are when they don't have black people in their lives, right? So mm-hmm. their perception of black people a lot of times is based on reality TV. So when reality TV exploits certain stereotypes of us, it becomes extremely problematic. Mm-hmm. And I feel like Zeus does that to the umpteenth degree. And it's by black people. It's for, I don't know if it's for us, but it's definitely by us. And they're making money off of us. I'm not for it. I think it's just, it's so extreme. It's not Ultimate Fitness Challenge with Candace and Omar. That's not what that is.
Okay.
But some of these shows, some of them, I'm not going to say every single show, but some of these shows.
So I just have, to be honest with you, I think it's really interesting that if it's reality TV anywhere else, if VH1 is footing the bill.
Oh, no, I have a problem NBC with, I've talked about Mona Scott bill. Young. I've talked about Love and Hip Hop.
What's the difference between Love and Hip Hop and The Real Housewives?
They're you don't watch either one. And I can say this, I watched both. I actually stopped watching Love and Hip Hop because it became too much for me. It was too staged. When Love and Hip Hop started off, New York, Chrissy, oh, Jim Jones, it was so good.
Shout out
good.
To Mendeecees, who I just saw in Atlanta.
Yandy, Mendeecees, it was so good. Now, same thing I said, talked about Housewives. When people know the recipe and they're trying too hard just to become famous, to break out, it loses it. It's become so staged. They put, like, the fights are so fake. Love and Hip Hop is not what it used to be. And I don't watch it. It is not the same thing as Housewives. There are similarities.
Right.
For sure.
So you're saying that the Housewives is a non-exploitative portrayal of
no,
black people.
It does exploit it. I had a no, but not to the same level. I said to the umpteenth degree. I'm not going to sit here and say that there aren't similarities. I literally had a conversation with Andy Cohen on his radio show very recently, and he asked me about the way he handled a situation with Garcelle mm-hmm. on the reunion and how he had to apologize for it because he dismissed a black woman's feelings, and he asked me what he should have done in a different way because I told him you were wrong. So I'm not going to sit here and say that there aren't similarities. Mm-hmm. But I think there's a difference when it's us putting it out there, I feel like, mm-hmm. and it's to such an extreme. Not every show
so
on
So when it's
Zeus.
Us putting it out there, this is the last thing I'll
we
say about
know,
it.
We should want to do a little bit better.
But if it's us putting it out there, at least it's us in control
never,
of it.
And it's out of control.
Pro Zeus.
It's out of control. I think this is easy. I think this is low-hanging fruit.
For the Zeus Network?
I think this is low-hanging. This is easy to do.
I'm about us being at the control of it. Zeus Network. I'm going to get a show on Zeus. Vans.
But I want it
what
to be.
What can I do?
I want it to be.
What can I do on the Zeus Network? What show could I do?
It needs to play into a stereotype.
It does. Oh, how about this? Easy. It's an easy show we could do. You'll be on the show. If the Zeus Network is listening, I want to do a weight loss show about me on the Zeus Network.
What's the stereotype?
Like fat boy, fat chicken eating nigga, fat backs, or something on Zeus. And it could be a bunch of fat boys and we could do something on Zeus. Zeus, reach out to me. I'm with us. All right. Speaking of us, we got to talk about Deion Sanders and the HBCUs on the other side of this. Guys, Jackson State has torn us apart. It's the big deal of the day on the other side of this break.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh. How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at ikea-usa.com/circular. Visit ikea-usa.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
Rachel.
Mm-hmm.
I had an interesting conversation. I want to talk to you about it. Maybe Friday night.
Okay.
Maybe Thursday night. Charlamagne the God texts me. And he says, Deion Sanders is going to take the job at Colorado.
Okay.
And I'm like, yeah, I pretty much figured that. Once they had offered him the job, I figured he'd take it.
Right.
Because I have been watching college sports, obviously, all season long, and I know that Deion Sanders' name was floated for a lot of Power 5 jobs. Mm-hmm. So I was figuring to myself, well, you know, he gets a Power 5 job, he's probably going to take an opportunity depending on, like, what the facilities look like and where the place is. And he was like, yeah, they're going to call him a sellout. And Charlamagne definitely doesn't think that that's the case. But I was like, why? I was like, no, they won't. Like, I literally have it in the text. I was like, why would they call him that? Like, his name has been up for the Auburn job. He's been talking about him. If Florida State didn't turn around, they had a great season over there. Mike Norvell's got the Seminoles playing good. But it's like, he might have taken that job. It's like,
yeah, I would have thought he would.
You know what I mean? He might have taken that job. But he goes, no, they're going to call him a sellout. I literally did not think or did not see the discourse behind Deion Sanders taking this job happening. No sooner did he accept the job, then that discourse actually began. Mm-hmm. And the more I dug into it, the more I kind of understood it. But I was actually blindsided by the fact that so many people, would be upset that he left Jackson State. Deion Sanders has now left Jackson State, has been announced. Saturday night, he was announced as the new head coach at Colorado. It's 27-5 at Jackson State. They were 12-0 this past year, undefeated regular season. 43-24 blowout of my Southern University Jaguars in the SWAC championship. He told his team of his departure soon after Saturday. Is when to hear Deion on leaving the team.
Okay, down for the nitty gritty. I know y'all been hearing the rumors and everything that's been transpiring around about my whereabouts and what I'm going to do. And I like for y'all to hear it from me and not from anyone else. It is what it is. Either in coaching, you get elevated or you get terminated. Ain't no other way. Either elevated or terminated. And it ain't no graveyard for coaches where they die at the place. It don't work like that. They either gonna run you off or you gonna walk off upon your own recognizance. I've chosen to accept the job elsewhere next year. I'm going to finish what we started. We're going to dominate. I'm going to be here to that end and that conclusion. And then when that conclusion, we will move on.
Rachel.
I'm shocked that you were shocked that you thought people wouldn't, black people, because it's black people, wouldn't be upset with Deion for leaving an HBCU, because I think there is a huge sector, or just a lot of black people weren't paying attention to the other side of it, mm-hmm. right? You're a person who's well-versed in sports. You're aware of that one job is a stepping stone to another. There's a goal here, whether you want to be the top at college or you want to use this as a stepping stone to get into the NFL. You're familiar with that. Most people aren't. So most people are looking at what Deion Sanders did, black people, are looking at what Deion Sanders did at Jackson State. They're looking at all the attention that he brought, the way he talked about it, the way he got mad at the fact that they didn't have facilities that were up to date, how he called on his famous friends to, you know, give them gear, how he brought College Game Day there, the fact that he won a national championship. They were listening to him and the pride that he had being with HBCU and everything that he was doing for them. All these top recruits coming there. That's all people were looking at. If you don't know the other side of sports, then I can see you completely being upset and thinking that this is all that Deion Sanders did. Deion Sanders was, you know, an outstanding college player, an outstanding NFL player, and he was giving back to his people and to HBCUs and doing something that had never been done before. And they thought that was what he wanted to do. That was it. So if that's the way you think, I can understand exactly why people are upset. But I also think that people wouldn't have been as upset if he didn't roll it out the way that he did. So it's not necessarily to me the what he did, but it's how he did it. A lot of people had a problem with the fact that he said, as a coach, you're either elevated or terminated. And he explained it, but it sounds bad. That's why I say it's the how. You're elevated. So it makes it seem like Jackson State's down here and you got to elevate, like everything else is above that. HBCUs are down here. Jackson State's down here. And to do better, to elevate myself, I have to leave Jackson State. So I would be offended if I was at Jackson State or if I was a player in that room, making it seem like we're not good enough for you. And that's how it came across. And then I think even more in his speech, he was talking about how, you know, basically, God told me this and you better not question. How dare y'all question God? I'm paraphrasing his, but he kind of said that. It was like 10-minute speech. Check it out on Twitter. So I think all of that put a bad taste in people's mouths. And it was so quick. Again, if you don't understand how it works in college, the fact that he won his championship, caught a flight, and then announced to Colorado, it just seems dismissive of everybody else's feelings who so got so invested with what you brought to Jackson State and that sense of pride. And now it's just gone. I get it.
So
I don't agree with it, but I get it.
No, I understand it too. So I think there's a couple of things here. Number one is when the discourse started to happen, I started to realize that I completely read it wrong. I want to know more about it, right? Mm-hmm. I'm very aware. When Deion Sanders said that he was leaving Jackson State, I was happy. I was happy he's gone. Get him out.
Really?
Yeah. Jackson State just beat Southern University 43-24 in a blowout for the SWAC championship.
Y'all won the halftime show, though.
We absolutely won the halftime show. We'll talk about that later. I turned on, I looked at the game. I'm like, what's going on in the game? Look at the game. Game was something like 35-0. I don't care. I'm like, get them out. Get the next guy in there. I'm not trying to have them come through Mumford and step on our heads once a year. Get them out. Fine. That's I care. The Southern, I can't have it. He's going here. He's too much. Okay. When I started to, I did a comment autopsy, which I like to do on issues like this. And what a comment autopsy is I go on either the Shade Room or Deion's Instagram page, and I look at the comments, and I separate the comments between the blue check marks, who were all in support of Deion, besides my man Wes, Wes Bellamy, who, you know, had some nuanced things to say. And I look at the difference between those comments and the people who are not blue check marks. Mm-hmm. And I think this stark difference in the reaction is very telling. Mm-hmm. Because people who have had to make decisions about where the trajectory of their careers and where they're going to go, and have maybe had to, maybe they are in a certain industry and they understand the decision that Deion had to make, which when we look at it, he was making $300,000 a year at Jackson State, a lot of the money that he was giving back to the school. And his contractor, his per year salary at Colorado is going to be around $4.5-5 million, mm-hmm. right? So people that are all career driven, that are into it, like us or other people, or even Charlamagne, that are career driven, are like, whoa, if that opportunity comes, you take that opportunity, you gotta go. Some of the people who maybe weren't so familiar with that, or that's not their life, they want to be protected. Mm-hmm. And there's an insecurity that exists in the Black community around who really is for us.
Sure.
And not even who really is for us. Who won't turn their back on us no matter how much money is available to us? Because the insecurities that we have to do with our status here in America, socially, economically, culturally. And we want to know that some people are going to choose Black over green.
Sure.
Because as long as you have a people who are disenfranchised, who don't have a lot of money, the lure of money seems to be the only thing that you need to make them turn their back on one another. Mm-hmm. And that insecurity will exist as long as the wealth gap exists the way that it does.
Sure.
The experience at an HBCU is nothing but a microcosm for the wealth gap that exists in America. Mm-hmm. These are land-grant universities, we've talked about them, mm-hmm. that have been purposefully and systemically underfunded for money that they are entitled to over the course of 100 years, right? And so Deion's salary at Colorado, $4 million, Southern's endowment is $9 million. We've talked about this before. So Deion makes on a per year basis what the university that I went to runs on. So when you think about that, LSU has a $28 million locker room. The locker room is $28 million. Mm. The school on the north side of Baton Rouge doesn't have that much money endowed to it. So the wealth gap just going right up the freeway, North Baton Rouge and South Baton Rouge, mm-hmm. two different schools serving two different parts of the city and two different parts of the state, is prodigious. So all of these things are felt to the point to where you have somebody like Deion Sanders. A lot of people, when I looked at this, felt that it was tailor-made that he would stay there for a long time. This is a man who is not financially insecure.
Right.
This is a man who has the legend status and has what people think is the fuck you money to be able to go there and be there for decades and decades and do some things. And they felt betrayed when he left. I always knew that Deion Sanders would leave. It was this, to me, was a launching pad into his coaching career.
Mm-hmm.
And this, and his coaching career, when people say that Deion Sanders wasn't swag, Eddie Robinson Jr. Said that Deion Sanders wasn't swag. And obviously he meant it as a pejorative, but it was true. He wasn't.
Right.
Like, he wasn't swag. Like, Deion Sanders was one of the best high school athletes in the country. He then went to Florida State. And after that, he went to the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when we're talking about the culture of the SWAC, you're talking about Eddie Robinson being at Grambling forever. We're talking about Pete Richardson at Southern. When you say elevate, when he was talking about elevating, the fact that he would use that term tells me that he looked at the job as a stepping stone. By the way, there's nothing wrong with that.
I don't think so either.
That's what coaches do. But I'll tell you this. There's a very distinct culture that exists at the HBCU. And a lot of this, to me, is illuminated of the fact that people don't understand that culture. Like, for me...
Right. I didn't go to an HBCU.
But what I mean by that is that... Sure, there are things that Deion Sanders did for Jackson State. I don't know how much he did for HBCUs.
I would disagree with that.
How?
Well,
What did Deion Sanders do at Jackson State that is recreatable at another HBCU?
Could there be an argument made that what he did going to Jackson State with his status and who he is? Because he didn't have to go to an HBCU. He could have been an assistant. You know what I mean?
But he didn't want to do that. He wanted to be a head coach. And because he wanted to be a head coach, one of the only places that he could go and be a head coach was a Jackson
right
State.
Right now. I think he could have held out. I think because of who Deion Sanders is, I think he could have gotten, he could have done a head coaching job somewhere else. It did not have to be an HBCU. That was available to him right now. He wanted it right
Deion
now.
Deion Sanders wasn't a head coach at the high school level.
It doesn't matter. But his name and status, I absolutely think he could have gotten a head coaching job somewhere else.
He would have. Okay, so
I do.
So this is what I'm saying. Deion Sanders was the offensive coordinator at the school that his kids,
yes,
his
Trinity.
Kids went to, right?
Yes.
At Trinity. He was the offensive coordinator there. I want to stay on this point real quick because I want people to look at some of the other people who are head coaches in the SWAC, right? You have Hugh Jackson, who's the head coach at Grambling right now.
Mm-hmm.
Hugh Jackson has been in NFL. The NFL,
mm-hmm.
right? He went to the NFL. He had some issues in the NFL, okay? And when it was time to get another head coaching job, do you know what is open to him? Come coach at one of our schools. Come coach here in the SWAC. Eddie George is currently the coach right now at Tennessee State,
mm-hmm.
right? He doesn't have any coaching experience.
Right.
Come coach at Tennessee State in the SWAC. Art Briles from Baylor.
I remember.
The head coach whose team nearly got the death penalty. I think they actually did get
yes.
it. Because of all the sexual misconduct that was going on there.
Mm-hmm.
Was going to Grambling before an outcry of the national media. The SWAC is a place, it's just like Black America. It's very forgiving and you'll get your start. You'll see a 27-year-old head coach there.
Right.
You'll see coaches there that like have resumes that might be a little bit thinner. You know what I mean? But that's how they build decades-long legacies.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they figure out how to be head coaches. They grow into men there. They become a part of the community there.
Yes.
So the fact that Jackson State gave Deion an opportunity to be a head coach when he had never been a head coach before,
sure.
that is something that to me is indicative and sort of par for the course of how it goes in swag jobs sometimes.
I'm just saying I truly believe that Deion, maybe not that year, 3 years ago when he started, I think he could have still gotten ahead of a coaching job somewhere else because he's Deion Sanders. But that's not, that wasn't my point. Your question was, what has he done for HBCUs in general? The way we were talking, you mentioned a bunch of other coaches who have gone, whether they've been on the professional level and gone to SWAC, whether they had a great college program that they were with and they were going to go. The way we were talking about Jackson State and what Deion Sanders did there is not like we had not talked about any other coach with an HBCU in that way. The conversations we were starting to have about HBCUs, that is because of Deion going to Jackson State. I think that there we could see more. I mean, Deion Sanders is on another level, but I'm just saying former players who want to be head coaches come through this system and bring conversation and attention and college game days and paraphernalia and sponsorships and whatever it may be to another HBCU. It doesn't have to be Jackson State. And that's what I think Deion Sanders did.
You know what the problem with that is?
What?
Is that Eddie George.
Is that lasting?
A Heisman Trophy winner and an NFL Hall of Famer, borderline, but whatever. He was a great player. Is at Tennessee State.
I know.
The difference between, nobody's talking about Tennessee State. No one. He's not Deion Sanders.
He's not Deion Sanders.
Right. So, like, what I'm telling you right now is what Deion Sanders did at Jackson State, in order for him to, if you guys want to have conference, Eddie, Southern and Grambling play every single year after Thanksgiving on NBC. That's because of Eddie Robinson. That's because of prolonged, and I'm a Southern University fan. That's because the Bayou Classic became the linchpin game for the black college football nation. Mm-hmm. And it's because they had the single greatest coach in black football history. Eddie Robinson from Grambling, but from Baton Rouge. Eddie Robinson, like from Grambling, he had us on TV, on national TV,
yes,
way before anybody came to Jackson State. I'm not saying that Deion Sanders, I'm not saying anything about Coach Prime. What I'm saying is that in order to do something and change something on the HBCU level, you have to change things systemically.
Absolutely.
Or you have to be there long enough to leave a legacy that actually leads to change. Even the recruiting. Deion Sanders has a podcast on Barstool. NIL is now going on, right? There's a Barstool NIL deal that helps Travis Hunter get to Jackson State. That's cool. Mm-hmm. So Travis Hunter, who could have gone anywhere, right, go to Jackson State because NIL helps him get to Jackson State.
Sure.
There are NIL deals that Deion Sanders can leverage because of his celebrity to help people get to Jackson State. Mm-hmm. The other schools don't have that. Is there a SWAC NIL collective? Mm-hmm. Have there been other NIL collectives at other schools that have been started? Has there been anything that's gone outside of Mississippi? Like, the conversation is great. And the fact that he was getting all of these recruits are great.
And the attention.
And the attention
that's more
is
what
great.
I'm focused on.
But what I'm talking about right now is where I'm from, we're three generations deep in loving Southern University.
Yeah.
And the Boombox Challenge, the Boombox Classic, should I say, when we play Jack, that's going to be a big deal no matter what. Jackson State was selling out all of their games, set attendance records 2 years before Deion Sanders got there.
I believe
there.
That.
So what I'm not saying in any way that it wasn't a meaningful time. But what I'm saying, I think people are, in my opinion, overestimating or underestimating what HBCU culture is. We cared about our football, about our athletes, about all of those things. And if he'd have done something to make it easier for the rest of those schools to go grab money, if he'd have stayed long enough for there to be some kind of big TV contract that everybody could chop it up, then...
But that was never his goal. But
I don't think, why are we talking about everything that he did for the HBCUs?
Well, the thing was that he hasn't done what he did at Jackson State. It's like he did nothing for HBCUs in general. I'm not denying the culture that exists within HBCUs. When you talk about three generations and you talk about Bayou Classic or in Texas, we got the Grambling PV game that happens right every year before Texas OU. Like I get that culture. I understand all of that. What I'm saying is what he did, because of what he did at Jackson State and the attention is the big thing to focus on there. It became Jackson State as an HBCU became a national conversation outside of generations of going to these games and this culture. It brought attention in a way that it never did to an HBCU. And I think that's a conversation that outside of what we do, that's I guess that's just my point. I will go ahead and say, I will concede and agree that you're right. He really didn't do everything for HBCUs out there. Like, he didn't, not systemic change, but I don't think you can deny the attention and the conversation that was being had. I mean, a college game day was there, for goodness sake. That's a national, that crosses over into PWI
I know,
world.
I get it. I feel
it
you.
Cross, so it's,
I feel you.
You can't deny that.
I'm not denying that, but what I'm telling you is all of that stuff came because he was Deion Sanders, right?
I know.
And so my thing is this. Now we're at a crossroads. We're having a conversation about...
No, I conceded.
No. Not us. Not us.
Okay.
Not us. I'm talking about the community. We're at a crossroads. Mm-hmm. The question is, what now? And let's have a conversation about this.
Okay.
I've heard people say, if you've never donated to an HBCU, then you really can't be mad at Coach Prime for going to take another job. Even Charlamagne said that. I told Charlamagne I disagree with that. I disagree. I think it's unfair to ask people who are economically stressed to be philanthropists.
Sure.
So I don't think it's fair to say you can't have a conversation about this unless you've given money to an HBCU.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that's unfair.
Yes.
To our communities. I think that these HBCUs, like I said, have been owed more money from the states that they are in and have been screwed out of that money, just like Black Americans mm-hmm. are owed tons of money, mm-hmm. both to me historically and socially and economically from America, and have not seen that money. So you know what we do? We make do with what we have,
mm-hmm.
right? But I think it's, whereas I don't have any problem with Deion Sanders taking this job, I think it's important that we learn a lesson from this. And this goes for Deion or anybody else.
Okay.
If you speak in the language of love, then you're opening people up to have emotions.
Agree.
If you speak in the language of money, then you're opening people up to consume. If I tell you right now, I'm giving you something because it's the best deal for you and I expect to be paid back, well, then you're going to do what you can do to pay me back, mm-hmm. right? This is mm-hmm. a business relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But if I tell you that I'm doing something for you because I love you, if I tell you I'm doing something for you because of a cultural bond,
mm-hmm.
then if I come to you and be like, when am I getting my shit back? You're going to be like, well, I thought it was for the love.
It's all love. Yeah.
I thought it was for the love. So when we're having conversations and we use the word culture, or we say something that's for the culture,
mm-hmm.
we have to understand what culture means. Culture means a shared experience, a shared bond. Culture means love.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're doing it for the culture, you're doing it for the love.
Yes.
If you're
true.
At a place and you're saying, I'm going to make this a big deal, and then I'm going to leave and go do something. You don't even have to say you're going to leave and do something else. Because Deion Sanders was always very upfront about this, right? If you tell Black people you love them, and you're there for them because you love them, they expect that love to mean more than money. They expect that love to be the thing that is enduring. So if it's not for the culture, and I'm not saying, and Deion was very... He was upfront about this, but at the same time, when he first came there, he's like, this is what I'm going to do here. I'm going to show God led me to this place. You know what I mean?
He did.
Like, God led me to this place. And I think he confused people a little bit. And I think the
people who don't know sports.
Well, yeah. I mean, remember now, for me, I remember Nick Saban losing his job
at LSU.
Miami.
Oh, at Miami.
With Miami and saying, I will not be the head coach of Alabama. Not going to happen.
Yes, he did.
And then guess what happened? He became the head coach at Alabama. So I'm not going to take the people that are upset about this. I'm not going to take their right to be upset away. I'm not mad. I'm happy. Get out.
Well, you're happy for selfish reasons.
Get out.
You're happy for
get
yourself.
Get your ass out. Coach Prime is a leader of men. He is a great man. Go build Colorado.
But
take all of that. Crazy shit. It's SC's problem now. It's USC's, it's UCLA, they're going to the Big Ten.
Pac-12.
It's Oregon's problem now. It's Arizona State's problem now. Get out of Baton Rouge.
I will just say that I do understand him being defensive, how people are like, you're not you know, basically, you're not for black people. They were accusing him. They were accusing him of not being for black people. And he was saying, just because I'm leaving doesn't mean I don't support black people. And he's right.
Now, let's keep it real. I love Deion Sanders, but let's play Deion Sanders. Donnie, do you have the sound of Deion Sanders?
One? Which part?
Of Deion Sanders in his press conference when he was hired by Colorado. Do you have that sound?
Yeah, I got that.
Play that real quick.
You've made a tremendous impact to the HBCUs. I guess how difficult was the decision to leave what you started there?
Tremendous. Because it wasn't about the X's and O's or the wins and losses. It was about those kids. It was about looking at the faces of those kids, knowing that I'm being ready. God is getting ready to elevate me. I'm sorry. God is getting ready to elevate me. Usually a coach is terminated or elevated. Thank God I'm elevated. But still, the journey is not complete. Some of the things that we accomplished there about bringing understanding and notoriety to certain falsities or non-committal things that are done in Power Fives, maybe God is using me to be the catalyst. To make you think and to make you just fathom another way to make us feel unthreatened when someone of the other ethnicity is approaching. To just make us feel good about today. Maybe God is really using me to open doors at this level. The thing that alarms me the most is just because I'm leaving Jackson, they think that I'm leaving African Americans. I don't know if you noticed or not, but I'm black. I can never leave who I am or what I am or how I am or how I go about being that. So it is still my task to look in that locker room and see 65 to 70% of African-American men trying to help them get to the next level, as well as all the others.
No, keep it going, Donnie.
My calling is for young men, young women, and people of all walks of life, all social climates, and all ethnicities.
Cut off right there. Yo, I don't like that. I love Deion Sanders so much. I am happy for Deion Sanders. I am proud of Deion Sanders. When I hear people say, my calling is for everyone of all races, that's great. That's amazing. What about these niggas, though? I'm serious. Think about that. Think about that. So let's really think about that. Now, I know what he had to say.
Because, that's what I was going
to
say.
So I know what he had to say. But this is the problem that people have sometimes. I know what he had to say. What he had to say in that situation is there are a lot of black people in this locker room at Colorado.
Yes. And there's also...
there's white people. So I'm here for everyone.
Exactly.
You're leaving a place where the black people didn't have any water.
Yes.
They have different needs. And stuff like that, I'm not saying that he can't do what he should, and he's going to have great success, but that's alienating to people. It's not the same. You have to have a calling on your life to make your life about black people, because if you have the calling on your life is about the people who don't have the money to repay you for what it is that you're doing, you have to care more and love more. So when I heard that, I was just like, God damn, that's a little All Lives Matter-y to me.
Absolutely not. Now that's a reach.
All right.
No, if he had said that in front of his Jackson State players, different conversation. You already pointed it out. He had to say that. He was being inclusive because he's about to join a team where they're not all black. If he had done that whole speech and he didn't talk about being black and being for black people, like, how can people say I'm not for black people? I mean, I don't like when he was like, I am black. I don't like that kind of stuff. That's the part I didn't like. Just because you're black doesn't mean you're for black people, as I whisper to you, Clarence Thomas. That doesn't necessarily mean that. We can keep naming people for that. But to say that that's all lives matter, that's not what that was. He is about to lead a team full of people that don't all just look like him. He couldn't just say he's only for black people in that moment.
He brought it up.
In that moment, he couldn't say that.
Rachel, he brought that up. He said, like, they're saying I'm not for black people. It's still a bunch of young black men in there. The end. Like, to me, it's still a bunch of young black men in there. The end. The end.
Okay, it's not all lives matter, though.
It didn't, to be honest with you, it didn't need to come because I'm not just for black people. I'm from all...
As he's coaching this team, I knew... gave the disclaimer. What he was saying.
Hey, the end. And so what I'm saying is, even for... And the only reason why it happened to Prime, once again, I love Coach Prime. The only reason why that happened to him is because his tongue is a little twisted in what it is that he's trying to say. I know that Deion Sanders is for black people.
Yeah.
I know that Deion Sanders is a proud black man who loves black people.
Sure.
And all of that. What I'm saying is I don't think he understood. I didn't understand, and sometimes people don't understand what it means when you've told people that you are going to be devoted and dedicated to elevating the black cultural experience. That means sacrifice. That means sacrifice. And I'm not sure he said that when he was coming into Jackson State, but for some reason, people believed it.
Do you think that he didn't sacrifice anything?
Not really.
Was this the first time that he was offered a head coaching job?
I mean, I don't know. But like, by the
we
way,
don't know.
By the way, he did sacrifice because.
Yes, he did.
So let me tell you. But like, to me, I'm not getting on him for not sacrificing. Deion Sanders wanted to be a head coach. He showed that he could be a college head coach. He coached Jackson State for what, 3 years?
Mm-hmm.
And so now he's going. It happens. I'm not saying I have no issue with that. It happens at other places. All the time. I can name a bunch of other examples of coaches that get there, leave before graduating class happens. What I'm saying is that if you look at people and you feel like they believe or they have the feeling that you are there because you love them, just know that leaving them will injure them. Especially if you say, I'm elevating. What Coach Eddie Robinson from Alabama A&M, I think it was Alabama State, what Coach Eddie Robinson was saying when he was saying that he's swack, when you swack, you don't believe that a PWI is elevation.
I think it's all the wrong wording. I agree.
When you swack, being there, being Eddie Robinson, being Pete, being Coach Doug, being whoever who have been at these schools a long enough time, that's fulfilling in your life enough. Like that is a big enough thing for you if you swag.
Didn't Doug leave?
Well, no.
Doug went to the Commanders.
Well, here's the thing about Doug.
I'm just saying.
Like, here's the thing about Doug.
There's a name out there.
Doug's first job in coaching wasn't with Grambling. Doug came to Gramb.
Okay, but you just threw his name out there.
Doug couldn't beat Southern, so they was kind of not on Doug. Doug,
just saying.
But you know what? Doug left. You know what? Doug came back.
Well, didn't they let him go?
There was some other shit.
And I like Doug Williams.
That was some other shit.
My people live close to Grambling.
Shout out
to Homer, Louisiana.
Shout out to Homer. That was some other shit. And look, there's some shit that's gonna go on when if you're that. So all I'm saying is this: I want people to understand, man. The swag. HBCU football, HBCUs, is bigger than one guy. We've been here.
And can I just say, as a person who did not go to HBCUs, I have to give a shout out to my parents.
Uh-huh.
Because the only reason that I can say, oh, I went to the Grambling PV game is because when we were young, every year we went to the state fair and went to the game. So even though I went to a PWI, my parents made sure that we had an experience. Maybe not the full, but an experience.
Alabama State, the Hornets. Coach Eddie Robinson Jr. is 52 years old.
You like how mother, do you see what I do? They didn't even acknowledge it.
No,
you just going to do pretty hair like that while she right here?
I love pretty hair. You ain't swag, Rachel.
I know I'm not swag. And I never claimed
so
to
people
be.
Are mad about this too. I want to play the halftime show.
I thought this was amazing.
I want to play the halftime show from the Southern Jackson State game. And this is how we get down. Donnie, play it.
2, 4, 6, 8. Let's get to
My favorite part of it was, like, Coach Prime about to be big ball. He said that right after. This is what we do. We diss. We talk that shit. You go to the Bayou Classy, go to the Boombox, is we talking shit. We don't, like, we, it's love, but not like. I got a lot of respect for Jackson. I had so much fun in Jackson. I was in strip clubs in Jackson when I was 17, 18 years old. It's bring your own beer. People walking in with E&J bottles. You know what I mean? It's like it's real nigga shit going on. I've been all over the place. I've been to the Southern Heritage Classic in Tennessee. We've been to these games. We got our own shit. Like, we got our own shit. And I would love to have conversations about how we're going to elevate HBCUs. But those conversations are multifaceted. Yes. They're systemic. And they have much more to do with than having those conversations about one guy. It's not one guy's fault that the HBCU would be elevated. And it's not going to be one guy's fault that the HBCU. That it's not. Yeah, that it's not. True. So last thing I'll say about Dion is this is less anger than it is pain. People hurt. They sad. Let them be hurt and sad.
I think people were shocked.
People love Coach Prime.
Especially, too, because he was like, that's just a rumor out there. I didn't say I was going. I didn't go anywhere. And then literally the next day, he's like, I'm going to Colorado.
No matter what you're looking for in a non-alcoholic beer, there's only one name that has it all. Athletic Brewing Co. Full flavor? It's athletic. Huge variety? It's athletic. Award-winning styles you can get online, at the bar, or the grocery store, it's athletic. In fact, when it comes to amazing non-alcoholic beer, there's no question. It's athletic. Ask for it and find out. Go to askforathletic.com to find your closest retailer today. Near beer.
Are you looking for a view of the world that's a bit different? Hi, I'm Jason Palmer, a host of The Weekend Intelligence, a podcast from The Economist. Join us to hear the stories that matter most to our correspondents and editors. Every Saturday, we introduce you to people and ideas that take you outside the ordinary and expand your horizons one episode at a time. Join us and see the world from a new perspective. To listen free until May 31st, search Spotify for The Weekend Intelligence.
Rachel, what does woke mean?
I don't subscribe to that word.
You don't subscribe to woke?
No, people have taken that and run away with it.
Do you know what happened with the word woke?
What happened? Who got a hold of it?
White people reverse N-worded us. Pretty hair agrees. Pretty hair agrees with me.
So woke is the new N-word.
White people, you know how we took the N-word and made it something good? White people took woke and made it something bad.
Well,
they've never been able to successfully do this before. This is...
With the word.
With the word. This is an unabashed victory of white. I got to give it up. Is white people won the woke war of that word. Because woke meant literally you are of and about progress and change. That's what it meant. That's what it meant. And now even black people use the word woke pejoratively. White people have had success in taking a word that we said and changing it around. We are the ones who take words that they say and change them around and make them good or bad. This is their first victory. Woke is the
first. Do you use it? Do you use it and say like woke in the way that they do?
No. Sometimes, like sometimes when I'm poking fun at the Midnight Boys, I'd be like, yo, man, get that woke bullshit out of there. When someone's going too far, like, and it's now, J. Cole helped in this too, because J. Cole said, niggas say they woke, but they broke. it got a little bit, but now woke is definitely a pejorative now. The woke mob, the woke left, we don't even say it anymore.
What did Chris, the woke police?
The woke police? So now we know what it means. Governor Ron DeSantis has answered this question for us, Governor Ron DeSantis. Mm. The Republicans' only hope in 2024. Federal judge on Thursday pressed attorneys for Republican Florida Governor Ron DeSantis to explain why the governor's recent suspension of a state prosecutor he viewed as woke wasn't an unlawful and politically motivated overreach of executive authority. Jean-Jacques Cabot. Wow, what a fucking $15 name is that? Jean-Jacques is his name. Jean-Jacques.
Cabal.
This is Cabal.
I don't know. We don't know.
Andrew Warren's attorney noted that DeSantis referred to Warren in his announcement of the suspension as a woke ideologue who masqueraded as a prosecutor. He then asked some DeSantis officials what woke means to him. Taryn Fiske, DeSantis communication director, says woke was the slang term for activism, progressive activism, and a general belief in the systemic injustices in the country. To me, it means someone who believes that there are systemic injustices in the criminal justice system, and on that basis, they can decline to fully enforce and uphold the law. We're in such a scary time. So if you believe that there are systemic injustices in the law, mm-hmm. which this government, Ron DeSantis's daddy, his political father, even Donald Trump, even apparently believes, because he signed his name on the First Step Act.
Yeah.
So by Ron DeSantis's definition, Trump is woke, Jared Kushner is woke, everyone is woke. Believing that there are systemic injustices in these, that means that you're woke and that's bad? Rachel, DeSantis, your candidate, the guy who you want to be president, What do you make of the war over the word woke?
Well, I think it's just a term that people use so loosely now, as you just stated. Everybody's woke at some point, right? But I'm trying to look for this because he does say that, even though, who is this? Ryan Newman is the one who said the definition that you just said of what woke is. They said that DeSantis, however, doesn't believe that there are systemic injustices in the U.S.
That's so incredibly
not wild,
dense, and wild.
Not one. Oh. What did you? How did that? Did you text her?
Hold on.
Hey, you.
Natalie, how are you? This is Natalie Nunn from the Zeus Network. Baddies, who is calling us? Hey, Nat, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
So, Natalie, I'm on the podcast right now. First of all, we have to have you on the podcast because we had an incredible argument over the Zeus Network earlier.
What?
Can I ask you a question, Natalie?
Yes.
Do you think?
Does she know she's on the podcast?
She knows she's on the podcast. Okay. Natalie, do you think that the Zeus Network is any more or less exploitive of Black people than Bravo or VH1 or any of those other places?
I've worked with all the networks. I mean, I'm 15 years into television, reality TV. And they're not anymore. They're not exploiting the culture anymore. They all are doing the same thing.
Exactly.
And to be honest, if you want me to be quite frank, Zeus is actually a Black owned network.
Boom!
I think that makes it worse, Natalie.
I mean, how y'all gonna be mad at me?
Boom!
That makes no sense. Like, I would feel like Rob of the other networks, and I know the people who work and are the head of those networks, you know, they're exploiting the culture, African Americans, Black
do as well.
People, you know. Because they're not even Black.
They're not Black. That's what I said. Rachel.
They do as well, Natalie. I think it makes it worse when we're doing it to our own culture. I would love for you to come on this podcast and talk about it. I think it's worse.
I mean, I don't understand that because it's really what the people want to see anyways. That's what we know. The thing is this, like, as an African-American woman in this industry, yeah. And being in the reality TV game for so long, like, it's going, at least when we go into the editing bay and the shows are edited, it's edited in the real way of being, like, you know, a Black woman in like this world that we live in, this universe, where, like, I used to look back at some of the things on on Bad Girls Club just say per se when I'm on their network. And I'm like, that is not how that went. And you guys made me look super like angry black woman. Mm. And that's like not cool.
Yeah.
Where now, at least in being with a network that is me, I walk into the office and I'm looking at people that I can relate to, and they know people like me because they're black. They are not going to edit me to look like, quote unquote, say the angry black woman or the, you know, whatever it is. So I feel way more comfortable working over here at Juice Network. I'm not going nowhere. Anyways, I got the hottest shows out with
the hottest.
And we doing our
Baddies West.
But Natalie,
weren't
you fighting on some of these shows?
I mean,
isn't that angry?
Fight on all these shows. They fighting on all these shows. They're fighting on Bravo Housewives. Fighting on Bravo Dubai. What do you mean? Like they fighting?
That's they are fighting on Bravo
That's what
Dubai.
Are to watch.
They
That's
are physically
what
fighting.
See. And like we've done. Zeus has done all of the shows across the board. Comedy show. We're not the only shows on Zeus. They have hundreds of shows. If you download Zeus, it just so happens that these loud shows are the shows that the culture and the people want to watch and see. We can't control that.
Well, you can.
That people want to watch that.
Natalie, this is what I said earlier. We was talking about it. I said,
Natalie should come on.
Me and Rachel had a difference of opinion because I said I think it's better because Zeus is run by black people.
Yeah, I feel way more comfortable over here.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate to say it.
Natalie's on
and
my
I'm mixed. I'm mixed race. Like,
mixed race.
You know what I'm saying?
Are
I'm a
black?
Mixed race. And I used to get upset when I would watch things on Oxygen because I was like, that is not how that went. And I cannot believe you guys edited that or made it to look like poor little, you know, like if I got into it, would say a Caucasian girl on the show. Like, it was not poor her. She spit on me first. Like, weird shit that they would the way they would, you know, manipulate the audience, like where now, like, no, I feel safe over here. Like, they're not about to play me. They're not about to make me look like, no. And anyways, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, why would we allow them to capitalize off of our culture? Like, I'd rather Zeus and Lemmy and the owners over here make money off of our culture and keep the money in-house, like, you know, within our own people. Why are we going to keep giving all these other networks the Bad Girls Club or whatever it is, like, you know, and they're just making all this money off of their stars that are all African-American and this. Nah, bro, we took that shit. We brought it over here.
Imagine
we running it the fuck
shit.
Up. We number 10
fuck
in the App
right.
Store. We don't see none of these other networks. So it is what it is. Like, we keeping that shit over here now.
That's what
Natalie,
I'm talking about.
Come on the show.
Natalie, come on the show. Tell Jacob I'm a dunk on his ass.
Yeah, I'm ready. And you know what? I'll even bring Lemmy the owner.
Bring Lemmy!
I'll bring Mr. Plumber. I'll bring some of the other baddies so you can hear from all of them.
Oh.
And let's do it. Like,
Natalie.
You know, it's a phone call. Just call
don't
me.
Get in Natalie. Trouble. Don't get
Natalie.
In trouble.
Natalie, bring all the baddies.
Don't get in trouble.
On the show. We want a baddies.
We're here in L.A. now.
Oh.
Just let me know. We're all here.
We got a special event on Higher Learning. Natalie Nunn is coming with Lemmy and all the girls from Baddies West. Thank you for the call.
I love you guys.
Like, love you too.
Thanks, Natalie.
Bye, Nat. Been known that for years, all the way back to the TMZ days.
I was a fan when I watched her on the Bad Girls Club. I thought she's
I run
so
LA.
She's so entertaining.
Yeah.
She's very fun to watch.
Okay. So you were saying, so we've lost the woke war. Essentially, the war of the word woke.
But is there a war over the word woke? I think it's just, I wouldn't say there's a war in the sense of how using the word, right? Like, you're right. They've taken over the word. That's fine. I think what was shocking was this admission of what the word means and then the admission of, but we don't believe that there are any systemic injustices in the U.S. I don't think anybody, we've lost the meaning of the word woke. What does it mean now, Van? I think it's open to interpretation based on who's using it. That's how.
Oh, wow, it's very true.
That's how bad it is right now when we use that, when we throw that word around.
Can I be honest with you, though? There is a troubling trend here, though, of the far right to be able to do something that in the past they weren't able to do.
Correct.
Which is actually have a sort of cultural hold over terms, if we think about it, right?
Oh, they've done it again.
Think about it. What?
Oh my gosh, it was in my head. Defund the police.
Defund the police. So think about this. So when we think about the right's ability, their cultural ability to depower some of the things that we say or come up with their own things. Defund the police was hijacked. Woke was hijacked. But not only that, Trump and the right came up with their own sayings. Fake news. Every time somebody says, like, I watch people score a touchdown and they gritty, right? You know the gritty, right? So whenever somebody gritties, they on LSU dick. The way I look at it, we started the gritty.
You did start it.
So like whenever I see somebody gritty, whenever I see somebody gritty, I think, yo, that's LSU shit. Whenever you use the term fake news, you are parroting something from Donald Trump.
Absolutely.
And something that Donald Trump used to part and parcel depower the freedom of the press in the United States, right? So, and even MAGA, it was make everything great again. It was make this great again. It was make that great again. My homeboy had hats. He was doing his make Crenshaw great again. Make Baton Rouge great again. Make all of this stuff great. Like all it, they've never really been able to have a hold in pop culture like they have now. And it's interesting that there's a sort of weird cultural power to the right that didn't exist before.
It's Trump.
Almost a weird, perverted, cool factor.
Well, take what Dave Chappelle said. I feel like I was having this conversation with my mom. What Dave Chappelle said Trump did in that debate, it was so shocking because he admitted to all the things that we thought, you know, was happening in the government, that we thought those with power were doing. He admitted it and then he said, not only are they doing it, I know they're doing it because I do it too. It was such a shock that he said it out loud, right? The quiet part out loud or whatever, that people bought into that. And that's that was part of his charm, if I say so, because he was saying things that people were too afraid to say. He wasn't playing the game in the same way. That became cool. That's, to me, that's what started that trend.
And that's
why they liked him.
That's troubling because now when you take a word and you read, you sort of reconfigure it, what it means. Now, if you at all look at systemic injustice, it's something that you can lose your job for.
In Florida.
It's something that you can lose your job. If you have a belief, that is breathtaking. If you have a belief that there are systemic injustices inside of the American court system,
right,
you can lose your job for it. That is breathtaking.
I mean, even the way that it's defined, suspension as a woke, where did I read that? Where was that? What was I reading? Ideologue who masqueraded as a prosecutor.
Yeah.
This is the person who went to law school, took a bar, passed it.
Took a bar.
Took the bar, passed it, is a sworn officer of the court, and this is how you're changing a definition of who they are just because they believe in systemic injustice.
Yeah. Donnie, let's take a break real quick.
As a plant-based cheese company, Daiya has never talked about beef in an ad before. Because someone somewhere once had a beef with saying beef and plant-based together. So putting a slice of Daiya cheese on a beef burger, not okay. Well, our delicious melty cheese has a beef with your beef about beef. Because any step towards plant-forward eating is a step in the right direction. Daiya, 100% plant-based, even if you're not. Now made with Daiya Oat Cream Blend.
We're back. Donnie, what did you put in the what'd you put about a coon?
There's new audio
from who?
Herschel Walker.
What?
Talking about it's not such a bad thing being called a coon. Coons are smart.
Wow, I want to hear it. I'm paraphrasing. I don't believe
Let's
you. Play the audio.
Play the audio.
They called me a coon the other day, and people think that was a bad turn. That's the guys on front of the country. If you know anything about a coon, you're one of the smartest animals out there. They called me a coon.
Are they?
Your face. This nigga can't be real, y'all.
He's not okay. We've already established that. He's not okay.
Herschel Walker, a robot, man. There's like Herschel Walker. I'm telling you, bro. Herschel Walker.
Press play.
Herschel Walker, not real, man. I don't believe this. I really want, you know how all of those, they be cloning people? This can't be real, man.
Play it again, Donnie.
Run it.
They called me a coon the other day, and people think that was a bad turn. I said, guys, I'm from the country. If you know anything about a coon, you're one of the smartest animals out there.
That's not real. That's not real, man. That's not real. Like, between that, him moonwalking to the crossroads,
like, it's like, that might be my favorite.
Herschel Walker, that's not real, man. There's no way. It could, even the way it sounds, Donnie, play it again. Jacoon. They say Jacoon. Like, run it again.
That is a bad thing.
They called me a coon the other day, and people think that's a bad turn. That's the guys on front of the country. If you know anything about a coon, you're one of the smartest animals out there.
They are smart.
Are they? Look, I've hunted raccoons before.
I looked it up. They have a high IQ, apparently. But that's not the point. But, just because it's
but
smart.
But see, we got to watch out. We got to watch out, though. Because
that's not why they called us coons, Herschel.
They'll change the name. They'll change it, and it'll be coons will be
this
something
good.
This
is where good. It starts. Ground zero. Right here.
Before you know it, Herschel,
what do you mean?
Whitlock, everywhere, it'll be like, they'll have a t-shirt with a coon with a graduation cap on.
Should we get a hold of this word? Should we try to take control of this before?
Should we try to make coon good?
Should we try to take control of this? Guys, if you don't know, that's not why they called us coons.
By the way, Donnie got absolutely zero smoke for saying that he liked the Herschel Walker dance. Y'all just did not care. I was expecting people to be like, Donnie can do no wrong on the podcast.
No, like, they love Donnie.
Donnie can do no wrong. Donnie said that Herschel Walker moonwalking was endearing. Did you not say that?
I did.
Rachel just said that it was one of her favorite. It was her favorite Herschel Walker video, and I agree. Something
there's
about
not
it,
much
it
was... to choose from. It's not because of the day. I mean, between the vampires and the werewolves to the Fright Fest or whatever it was to the coons, and
it's like it completes the Georgia coon bingo. He's done like all of the things that you could be
coon bingo. Coon,
all the stereotypes.
He's danced.
He got it.
He's done the whole nine. All right. I want to talk about this real quick. We didn't cover this, but the Will Smith movie Emancipation came out. It's a movie about a slave that just runs around a plantation smacking the shit out of other slaves. And it stars Will Smith. And
don't tell people that. He's not right since the Herschel Walker clip. He's messed up.
That was like a slave. Running around the plantation, smacking the shit out of other slaves. Stop talking about me, Chicken George. No. It's about a very famous picture. The movie is a slave man known as Peter, inspired the film. It's a picture of his back that you've all seen. It's his story about how that changed everything. So, Joey McFarlane is one of the producers of this. He walked the red carpet with the original photo of this enslaved man, saying that he wanted this enslaved man to be at the premiere as well. Run the audio, Donnie.
Tell me how you came to own the photo and why it was important for you to, once you did,
Yes.
I have the photo. This is the original photograph from 1863. And I wanted it to be here tonight. I wanted a piece of Peter to be here tonight. Sadly to say, so many artifacts and photographs have not been preserved or curated or respected. And I took it upon myself to curate and build a collection for future generations. You know, I've been collecting for, you know, a very long time. My collection will be donated at the end of my life for educational purposes. And it's something I just want to give back. But
okay. So you guys have seen this photo before. Gordon, or Whipped Peter, is a black man's name. His back is scarred up, the extensive keloid scarring on his back. I'm looking at the photo now. This pisses me the fuck off. This gentleman, the producer, owns the photo. And Peter's story is going to be told in the movie Emancipation, which I think is interesting that this man will now become more than a photo and more than a relic of American brutality and will become an actual person with an actual story. People know my disdain for slave movies, but if you're going to make one, I think humanizing someone that we've only seen in photograph form is important to do. Obviously, this pisses people off.
Well, because for the exact thing, what you just said is the exact opposite of what Joey McFarlane did on the carpet.
Right.
He turned him right back into a thing, into a piece of art, when the entire purpose of you being on that carpet was to tell a story, as you said, a real life story of something that happened to someone. Like you said, we've seen this picture. We didn't know what happened behind it. And by you doing that, this is one carpet I wish I would have worked. I wish he would have whipped that out in front of me. It would have been
a poor choice of words there.
It really was. Please take that out.
Nope. Leave it.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no. Oh. Donnie, leave it. I think we should have one thing on the podcast. No. We should be able to use one leave it per month. Right. We should be able to use one leave it per month. Leave it.
I'm going to cry. I haven't been right after the Herschel Walker record.
gotta leave it.
Oh my gosh. Right. No, but that's the problem. And it is great that, you know, I didn't know the story. I'm very honest, I will not see the movie. I don't want to see
I'll see it eventually.
I've never seen 12 Years a Slave. I don't want to see it, but I do think it's important to, as you said, humanize. But I also think that what happened here, and I'm glad that this interview went viral. I should say that Joey has since apologized. Joey,
I'm gonna read the apology right now.
Please go ahead and read it.
I wholeheartedly apologize to everyone I've offended by bringing a photograph of Peter to the Emancipation premiere. My intent was to honor this remarkable man and to remind him and to remind the general public that his image not only brought about change in 1863, but still resonates and promotes change today. Throughout the research and development of Emancipation, I discovered photographs of overlooked and historically important individuals whose stories also needed to be told. My plan was always to donate the photographs to the appropriate institution and in consultation with the community, and I believe there is no better time to begin that process.
It just muddies the water because you're obviously making money. You want the story out there, but you're obviously making money off of it as a producer. And you talk about all this other art that you have, that this slave art, it seems, that you possess, that it's great if you do tell the story behind it, but you're also making money off of it. And then you bring this picture and you're talking of it as a prop rather than Peter as a human. And it just makes me question what's the real motive behind it. I'm sorry that I'm doing that, but that's just how I feel when I saw the way that you pulled that photo out to discuss Peter as if he wasn't a human being and as a piece of art. It just muddied it for me.
Let me talk to white people for a second. Hope that they hear me. White people, we have a sneaking suspicion. We have a sneaking suspicion. Not all of us. Obviously, Herschel Walker doesn't feel the same way. But some of us have a sneaking suspicion that you guys feel like you own us. Some of us have a sneaking suspicion that you feel like everything great that we've ever done, everything that we've ever accomplished, everything that we've ever done, everything that we've ever overcome is based on your benevolence, and that we don't exist if you don't shine your light on us, that we don't have any light. That we are, in fact, reflections of you. And every time we think that you don't feel that way, you do something almost in a reflexive way to show us that you do. Joy McFarlane doesn't think what he did was bad.
Right.
He didn't think it.
He was proud.
He's proud, right? He had a picture of a slave walking around showing it to people. In that instance, he reminded me of an owner or an overseer. Mm-hmm. Joey McFarlane said that in the event of his death, that the picture would go to a museum. You guys, if you know anything about slavery, you know that masters freed slaves after they died.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
For your entire life, I own you. And then when I'm gone, you can go do whatever you want. I don't understand the dissonance that exists sometimes with the white counterparts that we share our community with. To walk around with that photo, parading that pain around, that dude can't come to the premiere. He's dead. His pain can't come to the premiere. It's been lived.
Mm-hmm.
You don't own that.
Right.
You don't own that experience. That's not for you. That's not for you. That's not something for you to have, hoard, collect. Our experiences, our pain, who we are. We're not collections of white people. We're right. Our own people. And every time we try to get some breathing room between you guys, every time we try to do something, you reel us back in. Now, the movie's on some weird fetish shit, just like you said. Like, I really want white people to understand something. You don't own us.
Yeah.
Like, you don't, like, our experiences, who we are, what we are, that's not for y'all. Like, we got our own shit. We are our own people. And you know who else needs to understand that? We need to understand that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That we don't just matter when white people are paying attention. Uh-huh. That we matter when they sleep.
Mm-hmm.
We matter when they trying to dance. Like, we matter all of that. We matter on our own. And like this, I looked at this and I'm watching the video and I'm aghast at the ignorance that it would take for you to think that that was all right. I'm just aghast. I'm like,
you know why? Because he's done it before and nobody said anything.
Why would you want to collect slave shit? The fact that he has that is very, 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 that is for a museum or for, that's not for some dude to have in his home. Look at this picture.
It's white savior mentality. That's what that is.
Yeah, well, you can only save something that's weaker than you. Okay, look, we got to get out of here pretty soon, but we got to do one more.
No.
We do.
Which one?
What do you think? I thought we had a mountain lion situation here. Donnie, we don't have a mountain lion.
Just animals, not mountain lion.
No, yeah. It's a coyote and a raccoon situation.
Coyote and a raccoon situation. I don't care about that. I won't talk about either one of those. What I want to talk about is a mountain lion named Rose. Donnie, did you see this? Donnie, give me my prompt. It's time to talk about something.
Wait, where did she come from? She wasn't on the... Mm-hmm.
I saw the most amazing story that a Thought Warrior sent me about a little baby mountain lion named Rose. Rose was orphaned. She was supposed to be around 30 pounds. She was only like 8 pounds when they found her. She was dehydrated. She was malnutritioned. Somebody found this little baby mountain lion, took her to a zoo, and started nourishing her. And she's on her way back. And I want to send some good vibes out to Rose, the mountain lion. Now, she's not going to be able to go back into the wild because she had to learn some survival skills from her mother, and she didn't have them. She doesn't have them now. It's here in California. So this got me thinking about the conversation that we're going to have with the zoo person and the anti-zoo person. If not for the zoo, baby Rose, the mountain lion, who I might want to buy.
Okay.
Baby Rose, the mountain lion, might have not survived. This changed my zoo perspective a little bit.
Well, Did you hear what you just said? What? Who I might want to buy.
Yeah.
That goes against everything that you've been saying, mountain lion. The fact that you're going to purchase.
Can I be honest with you?
And then
I'm not going to
domesticate the mountain lion.
First of all, I'm not going to purchase the mountain lion, but I would want to have a mountain lion. And if I was going to have a mountain lion, it would be a mountain lion that couldn't live out in the wild. If she can't live out in the wild,
yet.
She's got to have a home. She can't live out in the wild, Rachel. I was about to call you Ebony because me and Ebony are. She can't live out in the wild, Rachel, because she doesn't have the survival skills. She has to have somebody take care of her. And if I had a big enough place, you know what I mean? I would be tempted to have Rose as a part of my family. You know, but I'm not going to. I don't believe in captive mountain lion. I don't. But you want to see a picture of Rose?
No, I'm okay.
No, because your heart is hardened towards mountain lion. And I think that it's only right. Hold on. Rose the mountain lion. I think it's only right. Rose mountain lion. Mountain lion cub. Oh, look at this. Rachel, you can't tell me. You can't tell me. Look at Rose. Oh,
oh my gosh.
Oh my God. Look at Rose.
She's so
you
cute.
Guys put Rose.
Do you remember the lions above my? I this whole time I've been dissing mountain lion, and then I'm like, I had those lion cubs above my bed the entire time growing up. So I've had an affinity to them as well, and didn't even realize it.
Rose is making progress. This is a long time ago. Rose. Oh, so this has been a while now. Rose is doing great. This was a long time ago.
Where's
this happened.
Rose?
This was over the summer. She's a Bay Area cougar. So she's got a friend at the zoo. Rose and Sage are now friends now. Rose is doing just great. When this was sent to me, originally, I hadn't looked it up. Like, it made it seem like it just happened. Rose has been doing. Rose was found in April in San Mateo. But she's doing great now. She's got a pal. Look at Rose and Sage go. Look at Rose and Sage.
They're super cute.
They're best friends.
A Thought Warrior sent that to you. That lets me know that what's happening now is Thought Warriors are Googling mountain lion stories, and you need to stop.
Okay. Save the Cougar event happening this month here in LA. I'm going to it. Van's very serious question of the week. Is Van's very serious question
of the week? Okay, let's hear it.
Okay. All right. I don't have one. I was going to ask you a very serious question of the week, but I have to be honest with you. I can't ask you the question with pretty hair here. I can't do it. I can't ask you the question with pretty hair here. I'll save it till next week. The question was about something. I can't ask you the question with pretty hair here. It's a pleasure to meet your mother. Take your thinking caps off. Do not stop my Iron Valley.
I'm Rachel Lindsay. Bye, guys.